And you may be seated. I'm always thrilled when I realize God has brought this many people here to worship Him. We all sit here with a sense of expectancy that somehow in this place and at this time, the Lord will speak to us. I would only introduce what we're going to say today by the following. Today, if you're in a position as a Christian where you feel all beat up by sin, and what I mean by that you want to do good, but you somehow are addicted to feeling good as more important than doing good, and so you make the commitments and then you fall on your face and can't keep them. Or maybe you are in some area addicted to something, that over and over again you break free and then it grabs you again and you're caught. Or maybe there's some other mountain that you're climbing in your life where in a recurrent way you've prayed about it, you've struggled about it, but you still feel defeated. This morning I want to talk to you about the armor of God, the weapons that Jesus has given those who believe, that if you'll put them on, He says that will prevent us from getting so beat up by life that we can't stand, that we fall. There's nothing in this text that tells us to do anything more than hang in there, to stand, to hold tight. It doesn't promise us some magical release of pain, some perfect victory over sin. The weapons of our warfare enable us to just hang in, to show up, to be there. And that's the kind of power I hope the Holy Spirit will share with all of us now by way of encouragement. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, I pray that everyone who came with a hungry heart today, some who are skeptical, some who really probably don't believe you have anything special to say today, whatever our agenda, I pray, O Lord, in these next few moments, you'll meet us where we are. You'll give us the wisdom about this armor, the grace to put it on, so that we can find some protection against getting all beat up and discouraged. Help us to hang tough in you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Many of us struggle with an enemy that we don't usually give a name. But here are some facts from the Bible which we believe are true, seldom mentioned in modern pulpits, excluded from our vocabulary for the most part in our culture, and yet they identify a hidden enemy with which many of us struggle. The facts are, evil, Satan, and spiritual evil powers really do exist. And as Christians, we know the war against evil has been won when Jesus our Lord was raised from the dead. However, the struggle continues with evil until Christ comes again to establish His kingdom and reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, if talk about evil and the devil disturbs us, and this was one of those sermons as we're forced to preach it working through 2 Corinthians that I tried to give to the rest of the team because it's not the easiest subject, until we begin to ask some questions like, why do marriages break up and children suffer, even if that's not the last thing, if that was the last thing on earth we wanted to do? I thought as we were baptizing children today, no one would willingly hurt a child. And yet somehow, man and wife often cannot make it, and they suffer, and children suffer in it. And why is the question? Or why can't nations and races live in peace? After centuries of warfare, why do we still kill? Why do people murder, take drugs, abuse each other with news that fills our newscasts and our papers? Horrible things we can hardly believe really happen. And then personally, why are we often unable to do the good we want to do? And why do we fall victim to the evil we do not want to do? Paul's answer would be, to those questions and also the ones you ask, his answer would be that invisible forces of evil are waging war within our lives and within the world God created. Unfortunately, it is more sophisticated in the minds of many to think of evil as an archaic language of another age and to limit beliefs in such ideas to groups less sophisticated than ourselves. And we all know them, people who see evil in everything and everyone. and we don't want to be like them. C.S. Lewis was right, though, when he said, "The devil wins a battle when he convinces us he doesn't exist." Two best-selling secular books, Dr. Scott Peck's People of the Lie and Dr. Alan Bloom's Closing of the American Mind, both boldly affirm the reality of evil as a cause for modern problems in our world today. Jesus believed in the existence of evil, in demons and the devil. And in the prayer that he taught us that you prayed today, he said, "Deliver us from evil," or more literally, "the evil one." He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter was being tempted. His disciples claimed, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven," referring to his belief that as he launched his church, he was launching a war against Satan that would ultimately lead to his downfall. And then our text today, "For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly." Now, because evil may be an unnamed enemy with which many of us struggle, because our Christian faith offers resources by which to confront and defeat evil, it's important we study this text. If we'll pay $7 a ticket to go see things like Encounters of the Third Kind, if we'll watch the supernatural on television, why is it so strange for us in church to consider something that's biblically true and that we need to know if we're going to survive in this world? A first truth about spiritual warfare. Evil exists and possesses great power to attack your life and mine through what our text calls strongholds and arguments. Now, a stronghold is a place where evil is entrenched, such as the world of addiction and pornography, backed up by its billions of dollars and eager buyers. A recent special on 2020, I believe it was, said that the drug world has more money than most nations in the world, and that money makes it almost invincible to conquer. And then there's the stronghold of discrimination, violence, and hatred between nations, races, sexes, and religions. Strongholds as current as the fight now between Jew and Arab on the Gaza Strip, the disruption in our San Francisco fire department, caused by racial and sexual discrimination. It's right on our doorstep. Strongholds of evil. And then there's the stronghold of a growing acceptance of immorality and overt wickedness, where we as a nation are in such a moral fog, we'll call anything that public opinion says is okay as absolute truth for us. Dr. Bloom, in The Closing of the American Mind, reminds us that values created by public opinion have replaced God's absolutes of the Ten Commandments and other biblical truth. And that is leaving society in a moral chaos. And this guy isn't even a Christian. He's simply an intelligent, modern prophet from a secular perspective. Now, all of us could add to this list strongholds of evil in our own personal lives. Areas where we feel frustrated, defeated, beaten up, out of control. Places of weakness where that devil gets in his licks time and time again, leaving us just feeling totally unable to start again sometimes because we've prayed for forgiveness so many times and we wonder, can God hear us one more time? I don't know about you, but I battle evil every day of my life. And too often, more than I want to admit, I fall in defeat, like most of you. Things I know are wrong. And intellectually, perhaps I have a cutting edge over most of you. I know what sin does to people. I see it constantly, firsthand. And yet there are times, in spite of what I know, that I'm still tempted and you want to run to it and embrace that which would kill you. It's incredible. Now, we all fight different battles at different times. Through the years, if you listen carefully to me, I'm really not unable to tell you where I struggle. And even if I didn't, you'd know. We're told that we stand naked when we preach, and I think that's probably true. And certainly one of the biggest battles I'm fighting right now in my own life is to try to win a victory over what is a very normal thing, and that's adrenaline letdowns. In my work, we go up to big highs, like Sunday, I've got to be up. I want to be everything I can be for you. But you know, by 2 o'clock, I used to say Monday morning, now it's about 2 o'clock Sunday. You know, that adrenaline starts leaving you. And I turn into sort of a different person. I don't think I'm schizoid, but suddenly I don't want to talk to anybody. I really hope I don't get a phone call. If you have an emergency, call me. It's okay. But, you know, you almost get to the place where it's not you, and you say things you don't want to say and do things you don't want to do. And then you confess it all up and say, God, I'd like you to change me, but the next week you're right back there. Nothing wrong with an adrenaline letdown, but what's wrong is how I react to it and let it control me. And I'm fighting that right now. Now, that's my battle. I don't know what your battle is, but I bet everyone here has one, and I wish we had time to share it. You see, all of us have strongholds of evil in our experience from which we long to break free. And the good news today is we can. Just listen on. And then Paul identifies arguments, the reasoning of the human mind, as a second weapon of evil. Pride of intellect deceives millions into buying into the lie, I don't need God or the church. Many of us remember days in college when after a few lectures from a wise professor, we began to doubt everything we had learned in the past 20 years from our parents and our church. I have a good friend today, goodness, over 30 years later, out of the church, because we went to Occidental together, took the same classes, and he threw out his faith. And he could no longer believe that unsophisticated stuff we were fed as children. And to this day, he has no room for God or the church in his life. Arguments have great power to deceive us into breaking God's laws and feeling we've done no wrong. Arguments have power to help us ignore God, the prospect of divine judgment, and not even care. You know, I think it would take great courage to live without God, to hop into eternity and face judgment, all on our own steam, without any thought that we don't have Jesus, no Savior, to interface between us and God. That requires some kind of strong delusion. I think it's gutsy to be a non-Christian, and yet millions have no time for Christ or the church. That's evil. That's a powerful deception rampant in our land. In his People of the Lie, Dr. Peck claims that one symptom of evil is its ability to make people deny their behavior is destructive to themselves and others. That's a condition that renders them unable to confess their sin, therefore unable to find God's forgiveness. What is the unforgivable sin? To believe we don't need forgiveness. To say, God, buzz off, I don't need you. God can't forgive us if we won't let him into our life. And that's the posture of millions today because of arguments, intellectual reasonings of the brain God gave us. The first truth in our text: evil exists in the form of strongholds and arguments. A second lesson about spiritual warfare: we Christians possess power to confront and to defeat evil. James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good news. You and I don't have to be victims of evil. The war against sin can be won if we'll oil up our armor that gets very rusty and put it on and wear it into battle as we live for Jesus Christ. I am convinced one of the reasons we Christians are being defeated is that we are so arrogant, we are living without the armor, thinking we can do battle for Christ in our own strength. And we cannot. That's why he gave us the armor. Look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul writes, we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The gospel attacks evil by undermining arguments and strongholds with the following pieces of armor. I'm going to buy into Dan's suggestion. He said, I tell you a Ray Stedman story. He said, most Christians just put on the helmet of salvation, if you look in that text there. That's the act of accepting Christ as our Savior. And they go as streakers the rest of their life because they don't put any of the rest of their armor on. And if that analogy helps you or image, think about it. Thanks. For those of you who want to be clothed, this is what we put on. Righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but right standing with God given to us the day we received Jesus as Savior. Now you have to listen carefully. We Christians still sin, but we confess our sin, we break free from its power, and we start again, not once, but thousands of times in our life. Our life in Christ is not a call to sinless perfection, a call to obey all the laws of God, and if we do, he will reward us and we will be his nice little children. Our righteousness is a gift given to us by Jesus the day we're a Christian. And then we start a lifelong journey of becoming like him, not as a condition of our salvation, but because we are a Christian and we want to become like the one we love. How is that a weapon? Because our righteousness is a gift of faith, not an achievement of our will, we don't get knocked for a loop when we fall and when we fail. Grace picks us up and enables us to start again. This fact of not having to earn God's love by good behavior is a weapon against sin. Because most of us who feel defeated by sin feel we've let God down so much we can't measure up, and we work and work and work at becoming something, not understanding we already are something the day we become a Christian. That's freedom, and that's grace, and it's a weapon. And then there's faith. Faith is that shield of confidence that God is personally involved with us, that he can be trusted, that he isn't going to drop us just because we drop him, that he fights by our side in our struggle, and he isn't going to abandon us when we go down. And that eventually, in spite of our defeats, we're going to win because of his grace. Failure isn't fatal. That's what faith tells us. And then prayer. Prayer is our act of tapping into God's power on a daily, hourly, maybe minute-by-minute basis. It's fighting back when we feel evil is getting the upper hand and we're going down. It's crying out help when we feel, God, I'm not going to make this. I'm in a spot I shouldn't be. I've gone too far. If you don't help me, I'm going to fall off the wagon. And then in his own time and way, he comes. He rescues me 100 times a week. He's that personally involved, and that's the dynamic of prayer. And then truth. Truth is the Bible, God's word by which we measure all other truths. You know, if nothing much more comes of this sermon, I would hope this much would happen, that you would understand coming to worship isn't enough. For today's battle that we're all fighting, you need to know the Bible. And we need to go to these classes called community groups where you're going to get trained in the Bible and hear people dialogue about the Bible. Unless we get that truth inside of us so we're articulate with Scripture, we are going to fall victim to untruths. Dr. Bloom again makes the point that because we live in a culture where public opinion is the absolute, so if public opinion says something is right, then everybody follows it, even the courts. We need some anchor by which to offset that kind of deception. We Christians have the Bible, truth with a capital T. But we've got to know it. We've got to put it inside of us and take the discipline to make it a part of our bloodstream. Or we are going to fall victim along with everybody else, and you're going to find yourself affirming stuff that God condemns just because public opinion says it's okay. And we talk about all of our values. Values will never replace God's Ten Commandments. We cannot fall victim to that. I don't care if the whole world says a third sexual lifestyle, for example, is okay. If God's word says it isn't for the Christian. But we've got to have that anchor in our soul. The purpose of this text is to remind us we have an armor. Again, if yours is rusty, if it's hanging in the closet, pull it out, because without it, we're going to get all beat up. And then we'll be blaming God. He's given us the protection. It's up to us to use it. Now today, our purpose was to encourage us to continue the battle against evil. It's never going to stop till you die. So if you want the battle to stop, you're really asking for the Lord to take you home. We're in it up to our ears as long as we're on this earth. But we don't have to be its victims. We are victors in Christ. Our gospel is the most powerful force for good on this earth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Our gospel changes people. It defeats evil. It transforms darkness into light. And so if you came to church today feeling beat up, depressed, defeated in your struggle with evil, take heart. Even if your spiritual armor is rusty, I say again, put it on. Commit yourself to righteousness no matter how many times you've failed in the past. Today, start refusing to compromise. Dare to be different. Starting today, repent of any behavior that violates God's will. And don't let somebody get to the fact, well, you did it 3 years ago, you hypocrite. Okay, you did it 3 years ago and it's forgiven. Today, start fresh. That's all God cares about. Who cares what public opinion says about you? Last Sunday, one of our members shared with Middle Marrieds a very gutsy testimony about past sin and his current desire to be obedient and holy in his marriage. Such vulnerability takes courage, but it also provides him with a great resource, our church family, to stand behind him and keep that commitment. And that's what all of us should be doing in some kind of small group in this church, sharing our battles, where we're getting beat up, so people can come along with us and help us, just like they do in AA and other support groups. And then finally, we can cultivate that regular habit of prayer, praying for our family, praying for our church, praying for our friends, our government, and every other target the forces of evil are busy striking. I can tell you this, our church's ministry will rise no further than your personal prayer life because you are the church. Using the armor of God, though, we can launch some attack against these areas where evil is entrenched. And I believe we can win some more battles. I know people are going to watch us this next week. The community does as they see us pouring into this church every Sunday and wonder what's going on. And people will be watching and asking, does following Jesus make any difference in the behavior of those who take his name? I hope by our lifestyle this week, our answer will be a resounding, yes, it does. And to his name be the glory. Amen.